This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now we're talking indeed, 16 after 1. We are looking at a copyright amendment bill. Joining us, as I said earlier on, Nontando Tusi, thank you so much for joining us and staying awake at this time. Really appreciate your presence and your insights that you'll be sharing with us. Good morning to you.
Hi,
Tabo. Hi. Thanks again for joining us, Nontando. And Mutlokwe Patudi Mphahlele, King Beat Maker, thank you so much for making time, staying awake at the wee hours, and to share these, to share your pearls of wisdom with us. Good morning to you.
Thank you very much for having us, Tabo, and good morning.
Morning. Let's go straight into it, lady and gentlemen, about the issue of copyright. I think let's just first, if you don't mind, get the basics out of the way so that all of us can be moving from a common premise. Copyright protects original literary, dramatic, musical, and artistic work, sounds. We're talking about your recordings, films, and typographical arrangements of published editions. So this is very important because we have creators who are making a living from this, and who others who are enjoying, for intellectual purposes, they enjoy producing their wisdom and unleashing it into society, and they need to be recognized and compensated accordingly. So, Nontando, let's start off with you first, given that this four-decade-old copyright law has been around with us for a little bit. What are your initial impressions of it, and do you think that currently, as it stands, it benefits the people we've referred to?
So, Tabo, just a brief background.
Yeah,
as you said in your opening, the bill has, I mean, copyright, the current legislation has been around for over four decades. So it's extremely outdated, especially considering the digital age that we now live in. So that's what the bill is attempting to do. It's attempting to move us forward into the digital age, considering the current conversations that are happening around copyright. And you mentioned the purposes of copyright, and that it's for the livelihood of producers and creators of works. And this bill strengthens that. So they are, I mean, Recreate as an organization, we kind of have three main objectives, which can be summarized as the right to earn, the rights to own, and the rights to create. I don't know if you want me to just kind of go further down and break this.
Yeah. If you don't mind, briefly, we can explore those.
Yeah, so essentially the first right, the right to earn, and how that is reflected in the bill, is that's due the regulation of the collective management organizations. So many of these organizations, there's not really any transparency in how they collect royalties. There's a lot of creators that are starving who say, but we have works and we have organizations who say that they've collected royalties on our behalf, but where does that money go? So this bill aims to regulate those organizations and create transparency so that we know where that money is going and that those artists are no longer starving and their copyright is protected and it's no longer exploited by somehow disappearing between the middleman. I'm sure as a radio station, you guys are quite familiar with paying needle time fees.
Certainly.
We could contact the artists that you pay those needle time fees for, and we could see how much of that money is ending up in their back pocket.
Yeah.
And it's really, really not that much, to be honest.
So I mean, your argument in this instance is the amendment bill seeks to empower those who have previously not benefited duly from their works, and it will then empower them to be beneficiaries and to earn from what they have created appropriately.
Exactly.
Sure,
that's
sure.
True.
Yeah. Okay. This brings us to Mutlokwe then. Mutlokwe, what would be so abhorrent about that issue, because to a layman like myself, that would sound fair, that the amendment bill, if it seeks to provide proper compensation for the work produced by Thabo Motlokwe and Brenda Fassie or whoever else, they need to be paid appropriately, and the bill seeks to address that. Why would they be that be so offensive to you?
Good morning, Juan. I think there's a big misunderstanding of where we stand with the intention of the copyright bill. The intention is to better the industry, to make earning much more plausible and possible, to advance the position of creators and owners of the work, as that is respected and admired by the publishing community, which, by the way, is not just owned by business people, but is also owned by creators. And secondly, what Nontando just referred to in terms of earnings, in terms of needle time, that is provided for in the Performance Amendment Bill and originally on the previous amendment that was made provision for, but not necessarily... It's not a necessarily Copyright Act issue. So now to move forward, is our issue is how the amendment bill is written in regards to the Copyright Act, not what it intends to do.
Sure.
And the thing about the law is it's as it is written, it's how it's going to be interpreted. In practice.
Yeah. Take us into your mind about the how matter and why you are opposed to the how matter. What are your concerns about the how matter?
I mean, I will give you an example. There's a couple of examples, but let me simplify. Let me take a simple example, right? There's a definition of royalties, right? That refers to royalties will be payment made out of gross profit, right? Which is open-ended and not defined what gross profit will mean. And if you know the history of American artists in particular, for example, where they never recoup the money, the cost of what they did, of what made their albums, they never see the money. In South Africa, currently, you earn from the time a sale is made after promotional copies, for example, whether it's digital or it's physical. With this new definition, you won't earn from the first copy you sell. And the intention is to make it tighter for the artist, but how it's written is a problem. There's also an issue about on educational, for example, where it says educational institutions shall not incorporate the whole or substantially the whole of a book or general issue, or a recording of a work unless a license to do so is not available from the copyright owner, collecting society, or indigenous community on reasonable terms and conditions, right? Now, the intention of that clause is to make sure, or that article, is to make sure that the user is not subjected to abuse, right, by us as a license owner, right? However, how it is written, it can be interpreted that if we do not agree with the terms that are being provided by an education institution to license material, they can evidently deem that to be an unfair or an unreasonable terms of conditions.
Yeah, let's step back a bit for purposes of sense in this discussion. And I want to bring you, Nontando, into the discussion about the issue of the very first copy of sale, as has been referred to by Motlokwe. Why would you not want an artist to enjoy the sale from the very first copy?
It's difficult to speak to the technicalities of the bill pertaining to every single industry because the bill has been designed in such a way that it addresses multiple stakeholders. So when it refers to the rights of royalties, It's not referring just to the music industry, but it's referring to industries across the board, including publishing, including... There's countless of them. So there's a number of issues.
Of course.
So I disagree with... I mean, it comes down to a matter of legal interpretation. And I disagree with that interpretation that it's not from the first sale, because gross profit is calculated starting from the first sale.
Sure.
So I can see there's a little bit of ambiguity that's being introduced into... Yes. What exactly is gross profit, and where, like, what does that amount to? But what we think as an organization, and what must be understood, is that this bill isn't as is. It's not done. It's not finished. There are still regulations to follow, and these regulations will further flesh out problems that have been identified in the bill.
Yeah.
I mean, we were having discussions earlier today in a meeting that took place, and basically the rhetoric that came out was, don't throw out the good in seeking the perfect. No piece of legislation is honestly 100% the accurate reflection of what it should be. And there are some minor problems that have emerged in this bill, and we don't deny that. We truly don't deny that.
Yeah. Let's look at the current situation as it presents itself for artists, producers, publishers, and everyone else concerned about it. It is common cause that artists are not enjoying what they ought to be enjoying, because at the present moment, as you've mentioned, needle time, the money that reaches the artists on the other end, number one, it may not even reach them. At times, because if they don't make follow-ups with necessary institutions, they may not even get that money. But even if they get that money, is that money enough on the other end? Whether it's 5 cents per song played, and I'm making crazy examples here, bear with me. So even if it's 5 cents per song played on Power or wherever else, when you get it perhaps after a year, 6 months, whatever time. And that should be problematic to anyone who wants to make a living from the work that they have produced. Motlokwe, would you agree with that?
Okay, so before I answer your question, I just wanted to to bring something to attention. Actually, the amendment bill is very specific. It says share in royalties regarding literary or musical works. So it's not about the generic. It particularly defines what it says in about royalties for each industry that it is talking about. Just wanted to make that clear. And also, I want to make it clear that we're not saying throw out the bill. All we're saying is, can we correct the things that the language would leave it to ambiguity, that if a lawyer, right, that decides to argue a certain point, right, will become all of a sudden a winning case, become precedence, because we did not take care of business, because we're trying to rush it through. That's all we're saying. And in regards to the issue of needle time is an issue of the performance, the performance protection bill, right? Which we are in support of.
Sorry. Can I just jump in there?
Yeah. Come in. I'll come back to you, Motlokwe. Come in. What's your issue then?
First of all, my apologies. I wasn't aware if you were referring specifically, because the royalties provision comes up a number of times in the bill. So I just was making general reference to it. And yes, I do agree with you. There is a specific reference to it in terms of musical literary works, but there is also another reference to royalties regarding audiovisual works. And there's another reference to royalty regarding sound recordings. So that's why when I first addressed the issue, I kind of said royalty, let's look at it rather as a general issue, because it comes up a number of times. I mean, it comes up even regarding the payment of artists, in terms of the artists looking at the actors. So that's why I kind of looked at it, the royalties provision, more generally, and you went a bit more specifically.
Let's bring Motlokwe in.
You were zoning in on
Motlokwe.
Nontad, So that's what I'm saying. It sounds like we agree on the intentions, right? It's because there are specifics. So if you're talking about royalties in general, right, that's an argument that stands. However, when we talk about how it's drafted, right, that's where we have a difference in view. So it's not about we don't have a problem with what the intentions of the bill are in general. It's just purely it becomes very specific that even when you come to a regulation state, right, you won't be able to move away from what the Act tells you, because you have to be in line with what the Act says. Otherwise, you're not translating the law. Does that make sense? Because this is the fundamental paper. This is the fundamental paper that guides how you can play around or how you can achieve better regulations. And if you are restricted, or you have a situation where you will have to adhere to a law that is so open-ended at times, or so specific, and it has got definitions that change the fundamentals of certain things in the business, it's an issue. Now, you mentioned an issue about audiovisuals. Let me give you an example. The word audiovisuals is a part where it's being redefined to include stills that do not include audio, right? Mm. I mean, that on itself is flawed. They could have used motion picture, for example, in order to achieve that. So the fundamental issue is that this, because there is this copyright is the fundamental for many businesses that we are all part of. And if that is flawed, we stand a chance of destroying an industry that is actually a golden economy, not by intention.
So your main issue there, Motlokwe, would be the ambiguous language used within the bill that then opens up loopholes to be exploited by nefarious legal practitioners to their illicit ends. In this instance, you are concerned about the wording, not necessarily the intention, as far as I understand what you're saying.
That is correct.
Okay, so fundamentally, it is the wording, not necessarily the ultimate intention of the bill, right?
Correct.
Great stuff. And Nontando, would you understand where that comes from?
Yes, I do understand where that comes from. I think it's just it's a bit of a difficult thing. The task of drafting legislation is not easy, especially a piece of legislation that involves so many stakeholders. And I think it's difficult to comment on saying that this is the final piece when we haven't seen regulations yet. Regulations that will be drafted by industry experts. Regulations that may actually provide further clarity to certain terms.
And when you say may, what if they don't? And I think that's the concern, that shouldn't it be dealt with at this particular point before we even get to regulations? Enlighten me on that, please.
So it's good that we have conversations like this, because conversations such as these are what are noted going forward to the regulation stage. Should the president sign this piece of legislation into law, it's conversations like this that will actually become the foundation of building regulations. So I say may, just because there's a number of things that need to be addressed by regulations, certain things that the bill makes specific reference to in terms of regulations will address this, and then other things that it just goes part and parcel that regulations will be addressing those. I can't guarantee that regulations will address everything, but as I said earlier, we can't throw out the good because we're seeking the perfect.
Sure. It's 25 minutes to 2 o'clock. This is Power 98.7. If you've just joined us, thank you very much. My name is Thabo Shole Mashau. We are talking about Copyright Amendment Bill, what it seeks to achieve. And my competent interlocutors in this particular segment is Nontando Tusi from Recreate ZA Policy Fellow in Johannesburg, Motlokwe Patudi Mpahlele, King Beatmaker, who's a member of our Music Publishers Association of South Africa. And does the bill really put money in the pockets of artists, or does it stop them from earning their salaries, earning their living through their creative work? One of the issues that I would want both of you to think about, let's start off with you, Motlokwe, on this one, would be the vague and the imprecise, if you will, and so much that requiring content creators to fight to defend rights that should automatically be theirs. You're talking about costly time and money in this instance. So the uncertainty that has been reported around ownership and royalties by permitting free use and therefore threatening production investment, how would that affect the industry? Because again, from a layman's perspective that I'm standing on as someone who's not in that industry, when it appears as if the bill then will make it difficult for you to claim the work that is yours, and so you'd have to fight before you could earn a cent. Is this a proper interpretation, Motlokwe?
So there's different things that gives the perception that it will make it difficult for one to claim the material, like the one that I've said, where if somebody decides that the terms that you've given them are not of favorable to them and you are being unfair because there's no standard, you will have to wait for court, any court proceedings to occur or a case to be taken to court in order to set a precedent that will make it easy for you to make reference to. In the absence of that, you will have to take it to court yourself. Dispute that. Even though there is an option of the copyright tribunal, and the copyright tribunal is supposed to rule in such things, making it an active, it will make it an active participant in the copyright space. However, is it ideal that a piece by Steve Biko must now be subjected to being utilized as a legacy that should end that family, a financial growth that can be invested back in communities that were by history disadvantaged, now has to stand in court to prove that the fees that are being put forward are not fair. So it's all created just by the open-ended part of it. And it's very discomforting for it to wait for regulations, because if we can't purely agree that we need to make sure that, for example, your historic assets like Pata Pata, I mean, a great song like Pata Pata that should be studied in university,
yes,
as part of his history of music, as much as the original writer just passed on, may his soul rest in peace, Dr. Bamadorox Masuk. As in the next 50 years, that song should be able to make the money and be studied also to preserve the culture that is of South Africa. But in the current space, the way it is that family will not be able to exploit that material and help that estate grow the legacy of Omamadoros. And those are the things that we're talking about when we say the disadvantages that can be experienced. And will that legacy, that estate, be able to afford to protect itself?
Yeah, Nontando? Nontando?
No, sorry. Motlokwe, do you mind giving further clarity and exactly what the bill, what provisions in the bill stop this estate of great legends from earning? Sorry, I'm not too sure if we're on the same. I mean, I understand the grievances that you're expressing, but what in the bill is standing in the way from those people and those legacies from earning? Is it the provision of fair use?
It's the provision of use. So the fact that in education, right, how that material that are of legends can be utilized in education, and that clause that I read for you earlier on, I'm trying to find it again because I was paging through the act.
Well, just while you page through that act, I think what we need to establish and just come to kind of a consensus with is that fair use does not mean free use. It does not mean free use. Nothing is for free. I mean, a popular rhetoric that we've seen is nothing for Mahala, and we completely agree with that. I mean, that's why we stand for the right to earn. Fair use in the bill is not ambiguous. In fact, it's currently more clear than our current copyright provisions.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly states that there are four requirements that have to be met before any sort of dealing with any sort of a work is determined to be fair. So I don't entirely agree that we would have to leave matters to be entirely adjudicated by the court system. Yes, courts are a fundamental, I mean, nothing, this is South Africa. Now, just to kind of get into the legal, you know, it's the separation of powers, and the judiciary is one of the cornerstones of that. We can't run from the courts. I know they're expensive. I know they're not ideal. But at the end of the day, the bill makes provisions, as you've said, such as the tribunal, to try and kind of form a mitigating factor for that. But the legislation will have to one day be tested by the courts. There's not a single piece of legislation that hasn't come before the courts. And I think for that to be the reason that we run from it entirely is a little bit unfair to the fact that we do exist in a separation of power state.
Certainly.
And fair use isn't for free. It isn't. I mean, one of the pivotal points in the fair use test, step four, is the impact on the original creator. If there's any sort of an impact on the original creator, that use is not fair.
Okay, Mutlokwe?
So it's like what I'm loving this conversation, because I'm starting to find where the commons are, and it sounds like it's
certainly
a lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was about to say I must get a Nobel Peace Prize.
A lot of things have been lost about who's lobbying who, and
exactly
also, and that we haven't been able to then actually communicate exactly what the issues are. I mean, like you said, this piece of legislation is up for interpretation. So something like this, I think it's Article 13, the insertion after 12, after Section 12, right? It's Section 13, not Article, Section 13. It says the following sections are hereby inserted in the Principal Act after Section 12, right? So this means they go in, they become a new section in the original Copyright Act, right? And it calls them general exceptions from copyright protection. Top A, I won't read all of them, right? Mm-hmm. But in number four of 12A, it says scholarship, teaching, and education, right?
Yes.
Now, and then how it opens the line says, in addition to users specifically authorized, fair use in respect of a work or the performance of that work for purposes such as the following does not infringe copyright in that work, right? Now, the issue here is not what they intend to do. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Always comes back to, we know exactly what you're trying to do, but how the sections marry together. So Section 13 is now a section on its own, which means it forms the core of what regulations are going to be based on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's if that is just written like that, and even though later on they say you can be protected with A, B, C, and D, and D, and da, 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 they will always take preference to what is the core section in the Act.
Gotcha.
If we understand what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Nontando, clearly, it appears as if all of you are concerned with protecting the rights of artists, producers, and creators. The point of divergence comes to the actual wording. And I wonder to what extent have you guys engaged to find each other to thresh out these differences, because to me it appears that the ultimate end is the protection of producers and users and artists in this instance. But I want to bring you to the right to own, and this is where we need your enlightenment as people who have dealt into this bill very closely, where it says that it removes the apartheid era standard that made the commissioner of many works the default owner of our art. And this is the most important changes for filmmakers and photographers. No longer will broadcasters, publishers, and others automatically own all the rights to prevent from reusing the work in the projects or markets not served. And I'm just wondering if the bill indeed removes those standards, according to what you have, how you have lent the bill in this instance. Because if then you are not automatically a default owner of your work, that is rather unfortunate. Nontando?
Yes, Thabo. So that under the right to own, that commissioned work provision, that is a provision that was directly called for by creators. For example, one of the co-chairs of REIT, he had an issue where he made a film, and that film was commissioned under a very big broadcasting agency. The broadcasting agency decided not to show the film, and he said, okay, let me show the film on my own terms. And they said, well, no, you can't, because we commissioned you and we automatically own the rights in your work. So what the bill does is that it takes a step forward by saying that the ownership of commissioned works will have to be decided by agreement between the two parties. So what could have happened is that the bill could have said the complete opposite and just said, okay, default ownership of commissioned works belongs to the creator of that work. But then we would have an issue from the other side. So the bill kind of meets both parties halfway and says, reach an agreement on it. None of you are the default owner. And it also stops people from falling prey to contracts that they don't understand, and contracts that they haven't read, and contracts that they're just battling to interpret, by saying that this is now strongholding broadcasting agencies and all commissioners of works to sit down and say, I'm commissioning this from you, but between you and I, we have to decide who owns this. And then the bill goes further than that, and it actually says, if the work is not used for the commissioned purpose, then you as the creator of that work have the right to kind of reclaim it and use it as you see fit.
Well, I suppose, would you differ strongly with that, Motlokwe?
No. See, this is one of the most exciting parts of the of the bill.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I said. The intention is, we love the intention. Now, all of a sudden, now imagine if fast forward next year, Izo was coming out, right?
Yes.
Izo get commissioned by this particular broadcaster, and then they go in for 3 seasons, right?
Then
the next season, these guys are not offering good money to produce this product called Izo.
Yeah.
Then the creator of the brand can now take their brand and go produce the next season with somebody else, while the previous producer just owns the masters of that recording that they did. So
of the initial one.
The initial one, because they do not own the brand. They own the produced material.
Of course.
As per agreement.
Yes.
Like Nontando has mentioned.
Yes.
Because that would be the balance. The balance would be, okay, if you're paying for this once for the purpose of this territory, or this following territories, you control the masses. For the purpose of other territories, when it comes to licensing, I would like this amount of money in terms of royalties for exploitation, et cetera, et cetera.
I see.
And this is that part is going to generate much more competition.
Yeah.
It's going to allow a robust creation of ideas.
Certainly.
And that, for us, is from a music publisher's point of view, that is perfect, because all of a sudden, The originally, when you were commissioned work to write scores in a film, they used to automatically own that material wholeheartedly, and you were not allowed to use it on any other film whatsoever.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And they wouldn't even license it back to you, right? as per standards in AD and other developed territories.
Would do. Okay. 0861-987-000. 0861-987-000. If you want to participate in this discussion, feel free to do that. It could be that you're in the music industry, the film industry, you're an author, or you produce your intellectual property somehow, and you are just wondering how the law affects you and how the bill will have an impact in the work that you do, especially as far as your pocket is concerned. You are on Power 98.7. My name is Thabo Shole Mashao. My guests, Nontando Thusi from Recreate ZA, policy fellow in Johannesburg, and we also have Motlokwe Patudi Mpahlele, who is also known as King Beatmaker. He's a member of a Music Publishers Association of South Africa, and we have been closely with a tooth comb dissecting what the bill seeks to do and how it will benefit you as someone who produces music, who produces any forms of art, and are you protected by the law? Because at certain times we just jump into the artistic field and we think that we do not need to know much, and you are shocked right in the middle of the great works that you have done that there are regulations that you have to follow, and you are not necessarily going to earn as you thought you would because of various issues. So it's important to have this discussion. It's a very, very important discussion, especially with these competent individuals who are joining us at this time of the day. It's 8 minutes to 2 o'clock. You're on Power 98.7. Nontando, I'm worried about the publishing side of things. And as we are discussing publishing, if I have written a book and 50 years down the line, I do not necessarily own the book if I have not in that time come up with the new editions of the book and so on. Does the bill in any way look at the author's protection along those lines? Nontando?
Sorry.
Yeah. Did you get that? Should I repeat?
Please do.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm worried about the rights of the authors in this instance, that Thabo decides to write a book and 50 years down the line, or whatever time limit is down the line, I am not necessarily the owner of the work anymore, and it can be reproduced by Sinetemba. Does the bill look into such issues at this present moment?
So at this present moment, the bill sticks to the international standard followed by the Berne Convention, and that copyright subsists in work for 50 years. So this is in South Africa, this is
elsewhere.
Every nation that's party to the Berne Convention, which is majority of the world.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, at that time, 50 years later, when Thabo's book hits that 50-year mark, it's no longer copyright protected.
Yeah.
And that's how works such as the great works of Shakespeare, all of that kind of
entered into Charles Dickens and the rest.
Into the general market for consumption.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's pros and cons to that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the law currently says. I mean, we're currently looking at what we call the Mickey Mouse year. Mickey Mouse is a big product, copyright protected product of Walt Disney, and every year that Mickey Mouse is up for expiration, which ironically is this year, the 50-year mark, the U.S. lobbies for copyright to be extended.
I see.
Yeah. So we don't know if copyright shall be extended further than the 50 years, but the provision in the bill following the 50-year mark is following the international standard.
If you don't mind, I just want to take a caller very quickly to hear what they have to say, and I'm going to need both of you to respond to it. Tishonge, you're calling us from Pretoria. Good morning to you.
Nanduna.
And Tishonge?
Bovuana.
Bovuana, Tishonge. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Okay. You see, in a gospel circle,
yes,
you find people recording old versions of hymns and the like.
Yes.
But they will say the composer, it will be them. Now, you have an instance, you have an instance now of a song which is well known in a gospel circle, which is a Chivenda song, Wanga Mrena. I hope you know that one, Wanga Mrena.
Yes.
That song, we know the composer, but it has been recorded by many artists. No one make reference of that guy who composed that song. He's gaining nothing. He was just composing it for the church purpose, not for money making purpose. Now people are recording the song, no one is making reference to him. So I don't know where to start. If you want to help that guy, how do you start there?
Yeah, don't go away as yet. Let me just find out from my guests if they've got your question properly. Hold on, Tshonge, for me, please. Nontando, did you get the question before I released, Tshonge? You good?
Yes,
no
yes,
follow ups?
Yes, I believe I did. Yes,
okay.
I believe
it. Mutlokwe, you good?
Yes, I did. I just have a question for him before you go.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Who was the original writer?
Tshonge? Tshonge?
You mean Wanga Mrena? The composer is Chiridzi Chikarange from Huyu Village in Venda.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much, Tshonge. Let's start with you, Mutlokwe, whilst we are with you anyway.
Okay, so the first thing that is important is we will need to prove proof of copyright. So we will have to prove without reasonable doubt that he is the original composer of that particular song. The fact that he wrote the song in church doesn't mean that his copyright falls away. By the virtue of the Copyright Act that currently exists on creation of that kind of work, your copyright is you own the copyright, and then you have to prove that you own the copyright in order to earn from it. And everybody else then will be liable to pay him royalties. Unfortunately, this is where the regulation of collecting societies come in handy in the new bill. The societies currently have a 3-year windfall of unclaimed royalties, which can work against his advantage. That can work against him. However, in his case, if he has the right team with him, whether a publisher or a legal team, he should be able to reclaim his royalties. It doesn't matter whether it's in the church. And actually, just to add, churches are one of the biggest problems in South African copyright. When you're talking about, they don't necessarily pay performance rights. The challenge is, they always said, because it's a place of, you know, worship, it's a place like a sermon.
Yes.
It's used in the place of praise.
Yeah.
However, it's been proven over time that as much the contributions that if you can pay for a messaging, if you can purchase your pastor's messaging, there is no reason why you should not compensate.
Sure.
The music that is your worshiping with.
Sure. Let's come to Nontando.
Just to further build on to what Motloko is saying is that it is the expression that's protected, not so much the idea. So we can all sing, I mean, particularly in churches, this is particularly in spaces of churches and traditional songs where one debates who really owns the song, you know.
Yeah.
What's important is the words to the song, if it's a commonly sung song in a church, might not be protected. But that particular expression, so if you compose it and you compose it with a heavy drum beat,
yes,
or that exciting element that you express that song in, that is what is copyright protected.
Sure. Guys,
so that's why, I mean, these conversations are currently a very parliamentary, because you find that words are commonly used through our churches all over the nation.
Certainly.
But then it's the actual expression. If Joy Celebration is singing a song that we all sing in our churches, it's not to say that song is, the words to that song are copyright protected. It's Joy Celebration.
Yeah. Listen,
of that song.
Yeah. Now I have to let you go. because I know you need your rest, but obviously time is against us as well. So just in 30 seconds each as your summation points, what is it that you seek to do as respective organizations? And just in closing, your basic approach to the amendment bill and the protection of artists. Let's start with you, Nontando, and then we'll close with Mutlokwe.
Well, in closing, Recreate supports the copyright amendment bill. We the very consultation that the bill has gone through over the past 4 years. And I think as has come through this conversation between myself and Mutlokwe is that there are commonality grounds where we do agree. We all have the common goal to protect creators and their works and their rights. And I think it just comes down to both sides against and for the bill, sitting down and having these productive conversations where at the end we say, but we do agree. We're not fighting against each other. We're fighting for the same thing. And somehow we've all gotten mixed up in the message.
Certainly. And it's how you get there. So, Nontando, thanks very much for that. Mutlokwe, 30 seconds.
I think moving forward, where we said it would be ideal if we, you know, accept that we have missed each other in conversations and probably in submissions. We probably put emphasis from both sides on actions rather and not even see that the intentions were in commonality, where we were in agreement that and we had a common goal there. And if the president could give us an opportunity for us to just iron out those opportunities so that when we come to iron out those differences, so that when we come to regulations, it is clear what we are striving for. Instead of us sitting in regulatory processes, then we are now arguing to try and protect the same things that we missed each other from.
Certainly. Guys, it appears as if I've brokered a very interesting piece deal between the two of you, and I will be claiming my royalties from the two respective organizations. But thank you so much for being such great and very competent interlocutors. I look forward to chatting to you again, and thanks for enlightening us to both of you, and have a great morning, a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. Have a good morning.
I wish you the same. That's Nontando Thusi from Recreate ZA, policy fellow in Johannesburg, and Mutlokwe Phathuli Mphahlele, also known as King Beatmaker, who's a member of Music Publishers Association of South Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.